الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير صدق الله العلي العظيم.
ہائے کربلا والوں ہائے کربلا والوں اے خدا کے بندوں میں منتقب خدا والوں تحت انما والو تاج حل عطا والو شان مصطفیٰ والو وضع مرتضی والو کیا وفا پہ جانے دی کربلا والو ہائے کربلا والو حق پہ مرنے والوں نے شوق سے تمنا سے عزم سے ارادے سے زندگی نہ کی پیاری فاطمہ کے پیاروں سے ماں کی گود سے آیا کوئی کوئی جھولے سے ہائے کر بلا والو ہائے کر بلا والو کوئی تم میں اکبر تھا کوئی تم میں اصغر تھا کوئی ثانی جعفر کوئی مثل حیدر تھا کوئی قدر و قیمت میں دو جہاں سے بڑھتر تھا زیر تیغ کربل فاطمہ کا گھر بھر تھا ہائے کر بلا والو ہائے کر بلا والو چھوٹے چھوٹے بچوں نے جنگ کی اجازت لی بڑھ گئے جوان بن کر کم سنی سے رخصت لی قوم کی حمایت میں عزت شہادت لی زندگی کو کیا کہیے موت سے بھی خدمت لی آئے کر بلا ہائے ہائے کر بلا والو
بر محمد والے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Just a couple of announcements. As the usual program, we'll be having here Thursday, today, tomorrow, and Saturday. It will be starting at 7 o'clock with namaz, followed by Ziyarat Ashura, and then food, and then the lectures, inshallah. So please encourage everyone to come. We do have children's program going on, just like we did for the first 10 days, from ages 5 to 8 and 8 to 14. So we do encourage parents to send their kids. They're a very good program. We got a lot of good feedback from it, and inshallah, we'll continue that as we move forward. And as most of you know, we have Maulana Baig here with us from Southern California. We're very blessed to have him here. He's currently in part of the Al-Wilaya community in Southern California and also leading Hauza School there. Please help me invite him up with a loud salawat.
There's a request for reciting Ayatul Shifa for someone who is ill in the community. Requested him, and for all the other mu'mineen and mu'minat who are in need of Ayatul Shifa, let's recite Amma Yujib 5 times. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء أما driving test, where, for example, once you read it and you know it and you are an expert at it, you just throw it away because you're done with it. If religion was so easy, we would treat it just like that. We would throw it away because we are experts at it now. But Allah made it complicated. Allah made it difficult. And He made the system of religion and the system of spiritual growth also complicated. At the beginning, yes, it's easy. To enter Islam is easy. To come in is easy. But once you want to go to a different level and when you want to get to somewhere great, then it's difficult. To become a Muslim is easy. To reach Karbala is difficult. It's difficult. You know, I mean, and that's why, in order, because of the fact that the goals are so high, it is difficult. You see that the testing and the system that Allah made of religion needs to be understood. It needs to be understood. There's an unknown factor that Allah kept in our life that puts fear in us. It makes us frightened. Things that are unknown. What are these unknown things? When we look at the system that Allah made, you will see that becoming a Muslim or being a Muslim and being a mu'min is really not important. The issue of religion is not to live or be a Muslim, but to die a Muslim. You see, that's the issue that Allah is highlighting here. He says, I don't care if you're a Muslim now. The issue is that when you're going to die and take that last breath, are you going to be a Muslim? You see, now that is a fear. You see, that's a fear. Now let me read this ayat for you so that you understand where this discussion is in the Quran, so that we know that. One of the ayat that is impossible to follow. If you read all the ayat of the Quran, there are certain ayat that are impossible to follow. And when you read those ayat, there's no way that you can practice it. And this is one of those ayat, where Allah says, اتقوا الله حق تقاته. Fear Allah to the extent that He deserves. That really is impossible to practice. How can you fear Allah? I mean, I can fear Him to, you know, how much I can. But Allah, you're asking me to fear You to the extent that You deserve it. I mean, that's an impossibility. But Allah gives an impossible task to us. And He knows that we're not going to do that task. And then the second part of the ayat is what's important that I want to speak about. The second part of the ayat where Allah says, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die until you're a Muslim. Do not die until you're a Muslim. In other words, if you are a Muslim, the issue with Allah and the issue in your life should be trying to maintain this faith until we die. That's what we have to do. Now, are we going to or not? When we look at this path, there are two things in this path that add to our fear. And, meaning one thing adds to our fear, the other thing gives us a little bit of hope. What adds to our fear is that there are pitfalls. There are pitfalls that if a person steps into it, he falls down. He loses his faith. But on the other hand, there are surges also. Surges where you go into a certain thing or you adopt a certain quality and right away your faith increases. It just increases all of a sudden. Your practice increases, your awareness of Allah increases. These two things are there in this path. And the fact is, we don't know if we are going to fall down. Because when we look back, we see that a lot of people who were good fell down. Now, before I go on, let me define these two things. Pitfalls and surges. What are these two things and what do they mean? Pitfall means when someone you don't expect to fall falls down. Meaning this person, you're not expecting him to fall down. You're not expecting him to become bad, but he becomes bad. You see, it's called a pitfall. And surge is that a person, you don't expect him to become strong, but unexpectedly he becomes strong. He increases his faith. Understand this. Meaning, for example, on one hand, you have someone who you expect him to be really good. For example, he might be a son of a prophet or an ayatollah. And you're thinking, mashallah, he's going to be good. Look at his background, look at his, training, his environment. It's going to be so good for him. But what happens is that he turns out to be bad, and you're like, how did that happen? How did that happen, really? All the factors were there for him to be good. How did he turn out to be bad? On the other hand, we also see examples of people who weren't supposed to be good, who were bad, who weren't really people that you expected to be good. But what happens is that they turned out to be good. In fact, they turned out to be great, and you're like, wow, it's amazing. And we see this in history all the time. And the reason I'm discussing this in these 3 days in Muharram is because of the fact that these are the two things that are highlighted in Karbala. What's highlighted in Karbala are pitfalls and surges. People who are supposed to be good falling down, and people who are supposed to be bad becoming good. That's what you see there in Karbala. All through Karbala, that's what it is. And us who believe in Imam Hussein and who commemorate his mourning should look back at the history and see, why did these people fall down? Or why did these people rise up? Wouldn't we want to know those secrets? What are the reasons that make a person fall down? Go away. My friends, who opposed Imam Hussein? Who were standing on the other side? Were they Romans? No, right? They're not Romans. Were they Jews? No, that was somewhere else. Were they atheists? No, they actually believed in God. right? Who are these people that Imam Hussein is fighting? Right? These people really are the ones who wrote letters to Imam Hussein saying that they will help him, support him. Imam Hussein pointed that out when speaking to them. He says, you all wrote letters to me. You are the one who invited me here. All these things. So people who are writing a letter to Imam Hussein and saying that we pledge our allegiance to you and we are with you when you are doing this, you expect them to be good, right? What happened here? How did this happen? See, all of a sudden, when you look at that, you see that Imam Hussein really was not fighting evil in Karbala. He was fighting failures in Karbala. People who failed, fell down. They were supposed to be good and they turned out to be bad. That is the pitfall that we need to be worried about. And it is a reality. It is a reality. You know, some of us, you know, might have these ideas that, you know what, well, alhamdulillah, it doesn't happen to me. Well, you know, I mean, we need to burst that bubble first, and then the weight of the topic can be on our shoulders, and then we can carry that forward, right? Now, let me tell you a story, you know, so, you know, and you can hear it calmly and nicely, right? Okay, Imam Ali sent salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. Sent his delegation to Yemen, and he wrote a letter to them, praising them for their obedience and how good they were. And he told the people of Yemen that you are exemplary citizens who do their job, who maintain law and order, right? Helping each other, do all that, after all these things, right? And he says that, you know what? Because you are that good, this and that, I want 10 people from you, 10 of your best people, to work with me. So the people of Yemen were excited. Now, how are they going to choose the 10 people? Right? So they got together, and the tribes there and all these people had the meeting to pick out the best people amongst them. And they chose 100 people. They chose 100 people. And then the 100 people that were chosen, they sat together, they convened, and they looked at it, vetted themselves, and after that, 70 were chosen. And then after that, this group of 70, they sat down and they went through themselves to see who amongst us is the most deserving of them. And what happened is that, you know what? After that, it came down to 30. And then these 30 had a meeting, a closed-door meeting, where they went through themselves, this and that, to see, you know, who did what and all these things and all of the things that they did, right? And they, at the end, they reached 10 people. 10 of the best people in Yemen that Imam Ali had praised them for their exemplary citizenship, right? 10 people they chose. And those 10 people came and they met with Imam Ali. And Imam Ali met them. And when he met them, these 10, the best amongst them was their spokesman. He spoke in that gathering, praising Imam Ali, not a fake type of praise, no, real, and say that it's because of your leadership that we turned out to be like this. It's your training that made us like this. You are our example. And that's all we can ask from Allah. Really, you are the one who made us like this, and it's you, it's your love, and it's your wilayat, it's your imamah that has made us so strong. And Imam Ali obviously was looking at this one person who was speaking so eloquently amongst this 10, the 10 people who were chosen after this long vetting process, 10 people, one person who was like that, he was chosen, and that one person, Imam Ali was like, okay, wow. He says, young man, what is your name? What is your name? Imam Ali asked him. He said, I'm Muradi. Your full name? Ibn Muljim al-Muradi. Imam Ali looked at him and says, "You're Ibn Muljim?" My friends, where did he end up? Where did he end up? How many stories have we seen in history of people going from where they were to where they ended up? There must be something that happened to him. What was the pitfall that he fell into? What was that thing that brought him down? These are the questions that we need to answer in order that we can protect ourselves from those pitfalls that are lying in this path. We don't know what our ending will be. This unknown factor is what builds the fear, and Allah wanted it that way. He says, fear, it's good for you, it's healthy for you, because that amount of fear will make sure that you're paying attention, that you're watching, that you're seeing. You're not blind. This is exactly what needs to happen to us. When we look at ourselves, never look at ourselves as, oh, you know, we're 100% safe, so just relax. History is different, my friends. I can give you examples after examples of people. But let me just go back to the Quran and start reading from the ayat of the Quran about where this discussion is and how Allah mentions it in the Quran, right? Regarding rising of faith, falling of faith. How it rises, how it falls. Where does it rise? Where does it fall? What are the things by which faith rises? For example, what is our idea? How do you think faith will rise or your faith will increase? A lot of people, because they have the wrong expectations from the wrong things, and when it doesn't work out, then they start to question themselves and become hopeless. A lot of times they become hopeless, or they try to see, you know, what's wrong with me, what have we done? And they start doing all kinds of wrong things until really their faith suffers. For example, a lot of people think that your faith is going to increase when you go for ziyarat. Really. They believe that, you know, oh, you know, inshallah, when we go for ziyarat, you know, then our faith will increase. Is that where Ahlul Bayt say the faith will increase? Or is ziyarat for something else? Really. And so what happens is that when their faith doesn't increase, and they come back, then they're like questioning themselves. What's wrong with me? Why didn't I improve? I thought I was supposed to improve. It wasn't a place for that. Or for example, prayer. They think that by praying, your faith is going to increase. And they think that this is the place where it happens. And when it doesn't, and they see that their faith is the same, in fact, it's getting worse, and they keep on doing the prayer, then what happens? They lose hope in prayers. It's either something wrong with me or something wrong with the prayer. They don't understand that. Listen, is that what Allah meant this prayer to be? The expectation is not there. For example, you're expecting the car, the Honda you bought, right, to fly. If you expect it to fly, when it doesn't fly, you're like, what's wrong with this car? There's nothing wrong with it. It's doing what it's supposed to do. You have wrong expectations of it. A lot of things, we have wrong expectations, and what happens is that when we have wrong expectations, then those things don't work out for us, and now we start to doubt things. And those doubts actually kill us, destroy our faith. And a lot of people go from, you know, bad to worse because of those reasons. So let's not have wrong ideas about where the surges are and where the pitfalls are, and actually learn where they actually are, so that we can be vigilant and know how to look after ourselves and make ourselves protected. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Alright, let me read some ayat regarding these things, right? So that, inshallah, first you understand how Allah terms these ayat, I mean, this subject for us, and how He gives this subject to us, so that who best to learn from than Allah, right, and how he explains it. All right, let's see. He says this ayat, for example, this is in Surah Ali Imran, and this ayat where Allah is speaking about surge of faith. Where does faith rise? Allah gives one example, a subject example, sample of how faith rises and where. Allah says, "Alladhina qala lahumun nas." He says, these are people that when other people tell them, when other people, they tell them, "Inna nas qad jama'u lakum," that the people are against you. You know, they come, let's say, you know, some people warn you, hey, listen, the whole media is against you. You know, okay, you can say it's fake news, but still. But let's say, you know, that, for example, they say, hey, you know, the people are against you. Everyone's against you. Now what happens is that there's a, I don't know, but there is a real fear that people have of people. You know, now who are these people? No one knows. It's like, you know, unknown people out there. But an unknown amount of people are against you, or the community is against you. You know, and you're like, my God, the community is against me. It makes us so afraid and so frightened that we change everything just to make sure that the people are not against us. But Allah is saying that when they are told that the people are against you, so then what happens? And then they advise them, right? Fakshawhum. So fear the people. This is what they're saying, right? Meaning that the people are against you, so be afraid of them. Do what they like. Otherwise, you'll be in trouble. Many people, they lose their practice and faith because of the fear that they have of people. Right? They don't do things for Allah. They do it because the people might say something. My reputation will go down the drain. What's going to happen to me? That's exactly what the fear is in people. So what happened? It dictates their life. It dictates their faith and the failure of their faith. So now what happens is that when you hear this, and Allah is giving this example, when they hear someone tell you, hey, listen, be afraid of the people, they're against you. So what happens? At that moment when they hear that the people are against me, فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, their iman increases. Allah is saying, their iman increases when they hear that the people are against me. A mu'min, Allah is describing a mu'min. He says, his iman increases when the people turn against him. When they turn against him, that is a place, a surge of faith for a mu'min. It's a surge of faith for a believer. Whenever the people turn against him and they're talking about him, and they are criticizing him, and they are saying all kinds of things, you'll see, that's the time that a person starts to believe in Allah more. Now, here's the other issue now. On the side, as a side issue. Now that you know that your faith increases when the people turn against you, are you going to go there to experience surge in faith? Are you going to put yourself in a position where people are going to criticize you in order to experience that? Or are you running away from that? Alright, let me give another ayat. And from there we'll go forward, alright? This ayat is about the war of Khandaq. You know the war of Khandaq, right? It was the battle of the trench, you know, the people did that, right? So, he says, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, when the mu'mineen saw al-ahzab, the armies come up. Now the armies, when he says allies, it was army upon army that was coming up. When these armies came up to the extent that there are so many armies, and all of them are there to kill you, usually it's a place where you just say, all right, you know what? I think we need to go to plan B. Plan B is in order. Where's the peace treaty that we had ready? Right? Let's get that out. I mean, usually that's what happens, right? When you see so many people out there and you're outnumbered, you usually give up. But he's saying, Allah is saying, but when the mu'mineen see that, when they see that they are in a crisis, a moment of crisis where they are outnumbered, where they might, where they're, the odds are against them. When a mu'min sees himself like that, he says, "Hada ma wa'adana Allah wa rasulahu." This is exactly what Allah and His Messenger promised us. They told us about this. They said it's going to happen, and they were right. It is going to happen that the people are going to turn against us, they're going to fight against us. That's exactly what's going to happen. So, look at this. You are the same mu'mineen as were in the Battle of Khandaq. Aren't you? No, I mean, you do believe in Islam, you do believe in the Prophet, you do believe in Imam Ali. Right? And hence, you do love Ahlul Bayt. You are that. So now, what the promise of Allah is, in other words, Allah is promising in this ayat that if you are a mu'min, then those armies are going to come and try to kill you and target you. So when those armies come, are you going to say, "Wow, exactly what Allah said. Exactly what the Prophet said. He is telling you this." It's a promise that Allah is making to all of us that we are going to get in trouble. And that trouble is going to come. You can't run away from it if you are a believer. So if you know and see that trouble coming, what do you say? "Marana, give me a dua to get away from it." Bro, why are you asking for dua? Wasn't this the place where Allah says, you know, I mean, where you should be saying that that's exactly what Allah promised is going to happen to me? It's happening, right? So it's happening now. You are being targeted, as always. It's nothing new. In Ahzab it happened, in Khandaq it happened, and now it's happening. So all you need to do is understand that, listen, this is exactly what Rasulullah promised us. This is exactly what's going to happen to us. So if it's exactly what's going to happen to us, then what? Then Allah says, "وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا." The only thing that grew in them was their iman. When a mu'min gets into a place of crisis, that's where his iman grows. Allah is giving samples of this. Places where your iman is going to grow. And He's saying that this is a surge. And if you want your faith to grow, then get into a place of crisis and see how that works. Experience it. My friends, that's the reason people who came with Imam Hussein, they had a surge in faith. I mean, look at the surge that they had in faith. All of a sudden, you know, they were like changed. Anyone who came to Imam Hussein, because they knew they were getting into a place of crisis, that crisis, the situation they found themselves in made their faith grow. It was such that on Ashura, faith was increasing by the moments in people. Adding, just multiplying. Multiplying, why? Because of crisis. Because of the situation they found themselves in. This is what's important for us to know. And that's really where we need to be going. So this is about surge in faith. I want to tell you, surge in faith. What are the pitfalls? And give some ayat regarding that so you also understand what it means. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This ayat of the Quran, again, in Ali Imran, where Allah says, "وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ." He says that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He is Rasulullah. He is the messenger, right? قَدْ قَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. And there were messengers before him also. There were messengers before him and they came down. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ. If he dies or is killed. You see, Allah is saying, if he dies or if he is killed. So Allah is giving both options to the Prophet. Either he's going to die or he's going to be killed. Right? So the fact is that Allah does not erase the option of Shahadat, that he became Shaheed or not. He leaves that open and says that he could have been killed also. Now Allah knows if he was killed or not, right? But he left it open for us to debate whether he was killed or whether he was martyred, killed by someone else. He says, "Afa in mata wa qutila," if he dies or if he is killed, "in qalabtum ala aqabihim," are you going to turn your backs and run? Are you going to turn your backs and run? If something happens to them, then you're like, "Oh, he's gone, so guys, let's go back to Hubul." Come on. I mean, Allah is asking this question. In other words, there is a chance of a Muslim turning back and going away from his faith. There is a chance. Allah is not guaranteeing your faith and says, "Oh, alhamdulillah, now you're a Muslim. Now you'll be a Muslim all your life. Great." No, he's saying that there is a high chance of you falling down and running away. Or, for example, in this ayat where Allah says, "Inna allazeena kafaru ba'da imanihim." And as for those people who became kafir after they were mu'min, Allah, is it possible for someone to become a disbeliever after they became a believer? Allah is saying, yes, it is. So my friends, let us come to this realization that we can lose our faith. Wouldn't it be good for us to know the places that we can lose our faith? Right? That if I go here, I'll lose my faith. If I lose here, I'll turn away. I mean, those things have been listed out. Wouldn't it be nice to have a list so that we can say that, you know what? These are things to avoid. These are things to avoid. These can destroy me. Let me avoid these things. And hence, that's what we want to do. We want to go through some of those things that are major pitfalls that can destroy a good mu'min, that can destroy him, that can bring him down. And that's what we want to do in these, well, few days that we are together. And hopefully, whatever I can, I will be able to give it out to you all. And so it can help us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, this system of pitfalls and surges is a very intricate system, very complicated system. I told you, my friends, that the beginning of Islam is very easy. When you enter Islam, it's very easy. But when you want to go further, then Allah is saying it's going to be hard. Go at your own risk. That's not going to be easy there. Yes, when you enter, you're happy, you know, everyone's inviting you. It's like a new wedding. You know, and then after the honeymoon, right, things turn in a different direction that you weren't thinking. And so what happens? This is how it is. Journey to Allah is like that. He said, Allah is saying, at first it's all good, but then the difficulties are going to start when you start climbing higher. That's where it is. And why did Allah make it so hard? Just I want to answer this question. Why did Allah make it so hard? And we'll end it for today. Why did Allah make it so hard for us? Allah, you mean really? It's so hard that good people, people who declared their love for Imam Ali, turned out to be his killers. People who never thought that they would even go anywhere. Because when Imam Ali told Ibn Muljim said that, "I am going to kill you, how can that be?" And he told Imam Ali, "Make me go away far, far away from here, so I never do something like that. So I never do something like that." And you know what happened? When it was time for those 10 people to leave Kufa, Ibn Muljim fell sick. That's why he couldn't leave. And that, really, he stayed in Kufa, and that's where his downfall began. It happens. Allah is going to put you through that tester. And he's going to make you go through that. And you are going to go through that until you become like mesmerized. What the heck is going on in my life? Overwhelmed. And when you do go through that, why, Allah, why are you making it so hard on us? It's already hard. I mean, really, it's already hard on us. Why are you making it harder? You know, it's like, for example, this is exactly what religion does. You see, religion is a different beast altogether. I mean, I'm talking about deen, I'm talking about Islam. Islam is a different beast altogether. It's not like, for example, driving. You go, for example, and give a test to drive, and you get your license. Right? I mean, okay, you know, you got your license, you pass the test. It's not a big deal. We don't give you a diploma. Right? It was supposed to be easy. The embarrassing thing would be if you didn't pass. Right? But now that you did pass and you did learn the rules of driving, now we are not going to make the streets harder. Okay, you know what? They know driving. Let's make the streets more difficult for them to navigate through. No one's going to do that. You know, I mean, why would you do that to people? You know, well, they all know how to drive. They have a license. So now let's make it hard for them. Right? You're going to give them like acute angle turnings all the time. You're like, why are we doing this? No, they try to make it as easy as they can in order that you don't get into an accident. They make the road such and the rules such and the regulations such that you are protected and safe. But religion is the opposite of that. Islam is the opposite of that. You learn how to drive, you learn how to navigate, now Islam will make the roads difficult for you. Allah will make it difficult for you, and you're like, why? Why? It makes no sense. That's why people, when they don't know that there's a curve coming up, and the curve does come up, and they do flip over, they get upset. Why wasn't there a warning? Wouldn't it be nice to have a warning that there's a curve coming up? Well, here it is. Allah is giving that warning, and He's saying, listen, there's a curve coming up. If you know the curve is coming up, you would protect yourself. So now, this is how Allah made religion. He made it difficult. And but the question is, why? That's the answer we need to know. And that's the answer, you know, that will help you to understand many things in life. You know, have you ever looked at human beings? I mean, us. You know, when you look at yourself, when you look at yourself, and when you look at human beings in general, human beings are very cunning and sneaky. Yeah, they're very cunning, very sneaky, you know. Oh, yes, they will justify everything they do. They will, I mean, not admit to any wrong. They will try to hide their wrongs so far under the rug that you will have to just bulldoze the house to find that dirt. I mean, really, you are not going to make someone admit their guilt, their wrongs. It's difficult. We are like that. We hide ourselves and we justify everything that we do so much that our reputation that we built for ourselves in front of people is so fake and fraudulent that it's laughable. You, Muttaqi, welcome, Mr. Muttaqi, to the dry cleaning system of Allah. You know what Allah does? He's going to make you go through that and bring all that fake and fraudulent and that double-faced things that you have hidden inside, it needs to come out. If it doesn't come out, how are you going to grow? How are you going to get better? It needs to come out from you. My friends, it's us who are complicated. So Allah needs to make a system that is so complicated that we cannot beat it. And it's going to beat us. We think that we're going to beat Allah's system, this system that we're going to run, we are only fooling ourselves. Allah's saying, go ahead. Go into it and let's see where you end up. Because if Allah is going to, bring that out of you, it's only for our own good. He wants to bring it out so that we can take that stand. This is how the system works. It is us who are complicated, and Allah now is saying, I need to do this in order for you to go to the next level. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. We are all potentially a shimr. So if this is reality, we can all become shimr. If you know that we are potentially a shimr, what are we doing to counter that? Are we doing anything? Knowing that, wow, I can turn out to be shimr, so I need to do these things in order to protect myself from becoming a shimr. Am I doing something? This one abid, a worshipper, right, said that he's going to be raised, this one abid is going to be raised with Umar ibn Sa'd. With Umar ibn Sa'd, right? And this worshipper, when he's going to be raised with him, obviously he will be surprised. He says, wait a minute, there's been a mistake here. I'm an abid. And look at this guy. I mean, this is Umar ibn Sa'd. I mean, surely I can't be with him in the same place, the day of judgment. It has to be, there's a mistake that's made here. Do something about it. The angels will look in their files and say, no, there's no mistake. But wait a minute. I mean, that guy killed Imam Hussein. I didn't do anything. There must be a mistake here. And you know what? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says this. He said that abid one day was about to start to pray, and he saw that there's a bird that had fallen and is in pain and is dying. He saw that he said, you know what? It's going to die anyway, so let me start my prayer. And he began to pray, and he did not attend to a bird that was dying. And when he died, Allah has him in punishment. And Imam says that he's still in punishment. My friends, what do you think you need to become a shimmer? Imam Hussein is not going to come all the time so you can kill him. That only happened once. It's not going to happen again. He's not going to happen again. You know what I mean? That's impossible. The fact is that character, when it's replicated, that pitfall, when you replicate that's what makes you a shimr. That's what needs to be avoided. What are those things? We need to avoid those things. And we need to find those things that make us go up. The reason is because we have a lot of things hidden inside of us that we don't even know. We don't even admit to. When you talk to people, anything that you say about them, you know, they're very good at defending themselves. Oh, you don't know what I've been through. You know, why are you defending? Just admit it. It's okay. You don't know my story. Bro, it's okay. Just admit it. Why? Because we are like that. We are just too sneaky and too cunning and just a person who doesn't want to admit what his reality is. This is who we are. And something has to be done in order to take that reality out of us and clean it. And that's why Allah made this system so hard that it does get it out. And we need to be thankful for that. But one thing I will give you today, you know, because it's Thursday night, inshallah, you take it and do this. That will help you. A good deed that will not be a pitfall, and it will help you. But do it the way I say it. You know, one of the things that will make your iman grow and help you to protect yourself from pitfalls, you know what it is? Go and attend the majlis of Imam Hussein often. No, understand this. Often, regularly, any place that the masjid is going on, just go there. Just go there. Keep on going there. Keep on going there. And when you, not like, once a night we come here and that's it, Anyone having a majlis, and you see there are a lot of people who do have majlises, this and that, and they should do it, right, at their homes. Because really, it's really important that they do it, because everywhere there's a majlis and zikr, right? You go there. Just keep on going there. This place, that place, any place there's zikr of Imam Hussain, just go there. Go to every place that you can. After a while, when you go regularly and often, then ask yourself, am I getting tired of this? Am I trying to avoid the majlis of Imam Hussain? Ask yourself what's hidden inside of you. How many majlises, every day, look at that, all this. Wow, okay, don't worry. It means that there is a point, a breaking point for you of your relationship with Imam Hussain. Hussain only to this extent, not more than that. I can't take it. It's fine. Imam Hussain is not going to leave you, don't worry. But this is just to see yourself and then say, why am I tired of Imam Hussain? Why am I tired of Imam Hussain? Bibi Zainab is not tired of me. Why am I tired of Imam Hussain? Ask yourself that question. And maybe, we can get an answer about ourselves, about who we are, about what we are, and what our real relationship is. Just let me tell you this. It's good for us to know this. When Hur stopped Imam Hussain and literally arrested him, put him in one place, did not let him go further, said, you have to go with us, that's it. We'll wait for the command to come to see what we have to do with you. Till then, you are under arrest. And I'm waiting for the command to come from above to see what's going to be done to you. Something is inside Hur. Imam Hussain had to take it out. Imam Hussain did not listen to Hur. He turned his horse away. Hur went right away and grabbed the reins of that horse, yanked it. And Imam Hussain, you know what he said? He says, may your mother cry for you. May your mother cry for you. Those are some insulting words. He insulted him. What does it take to bring what is inside of us outside? Does Imam Hussain need to insult us so that that which is inside of us can come out? See how Imam Hussain did it. He said, may your mother cry for you. Now Imam Hussain is waiting. Hur is waiting. Something is going on inside of Hur. Imam Hussain wants to see, Hur, what is inside of you? I need to see that. Bring it out. Bring it out. I poked this deep in your heart. Your mother means a lot to you, right? I poked this deep in your heart. Let's see what comes out of there. Let's see what comes out of there. And when Hur searched deep into his heart, there was a light that came out. A light, a nur, that came out from within himself, from deep within himself. And all Hur can say was, I can't say anything about your mother. Your mother is Fatima. Your mother is Fatima. Who am I to say something about her? Imam Hussain looked at her in such a way. Good answer. Good answer. You respected my mother. That was a really hard push. That was a really deep digging that I did inside of you, whore. And you brought out that light from inside of you, and you respected my mother. You respected Fatima. Good for you. Imam Hussein looked at whore in such a proud way, with such love and pride, that it affected whore deep down inside. Deep down inside. And you saw the effect when whore came out in Ashura. When he came on Ashura, how did he come out? What was his way? Whore came out there with his shoes around his neck, his head bowed down. In shame, he came outside. In complete shame. He was ashamed of himself. He was ashamed of his actions. And he came outside in that situation. And when Hussein saw that, when Hussein saw how Hur was coming to Imam Hussein with his head bowed down in shame, Hussein called out to Ali Akbar and said, "Akbar, go get your uncle. Don't you see we have a guest who's coming? Go welcome him." Ali Akbar goes there. Abbas goes there. Welcomes Hur. Imam Hussein says, "Hur, raise your head up. Raise your head. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You have nothing to be ashamed of." Hur said, "No, but I have done wrong. I have done wrong. I need to make sure I pay for this. I want to pay for this." And so when Hur went and fell down. When he fell down, you think Imam Hussein is going to let you fall down? Someone who falls down for Hussein doesn't let him fall down. Imam Hussein, we are sitting here, and if we fall, we know that if we are holding on to you, you will not let us fall down. Because when Hur fell down on Ashura, and when he fell down there, Imam Hussein came unto him, put his head on his lap, and said, "Hur." He looked at him. He knew Hur is going away now. Hur, he needs to do one last thing for Hur, because he knows that if he doesn't do this, Hur is going to leave him. With that one thing that Hussein did. Because Hussein, what he did was to bring the best out of Hur. And he brought the best out of Hur from inside of him. But he needed to make it up now. So Imam Hussein made it up on his last breathing. Imam Hussein made it up and said, "Yes, your mother is right. She called you Hur. She called you Hur. Then it means that your mother is good, because what she did is who you are. You are a free man." He said, "Your mother is good. I am telling you, Hur, your mother is good. I said that I spoke about your mother that day. I will make it up today. Now I am telling you, your mother is good." Imagine how Hur felt when he did that. When Imam Hussein said that, he did not let him fall down. My friends, even if Ahlul Bayt push us, Imam Hussein pushes someone, he doesn't let them fall down like that. He doesn't let them go off like that. But what can I say? What can I say? That when Ali Akbar fell to the ground, when Ali Akbar fell to the ground, it wasn't Ali Akbar who was being tried, it was Hussein who was being tried. It was Hussein who was being tried, because when he came to Ali Akbar couldn't speak. He was hiding his chest. Hussein looked at him and said, "Son, what happened? Why are you silent? Why don't you talk to me?" Ali Akbar couldn't talk because his throat is filled with blood. He could not talk. When Hussein saw his hands that he's trying to hide something, he pulled that hand open and saw that spear that stuck in the chest of Ali Akbar. When he saw that spear that was in the chest of Ali Akbar, Hussein said, "So this is what's making you not speak with your father? Is this what's making you not speak with your father? Then let me take it out for you." When Hussein held that,
When Hussein held that and pulled it out, it was so difficult because it was stuck inside the bones. Hussein was pulling it. Every tug that Hussein gave, Ali Akbar was kicking his feet. Like an animal would kick its feet when you slaughter it. Hussein saw the kicking of the feet. سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون يا محمود بحق محمد يا علاء بحق علي يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطمة يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسين give us the توفيق to be on the right path wisdom to understand your guidance hasten to the reappearance of our imam make us his helper when he comes وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين ماتم حسين
When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother." Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When the night fell on that desert camping, a lonely voice was heard in moaning. Then she looked and saw someone approaching, one who would join her in her grieving. She had come to see her progeny and what had become of their destiny. But she could not let her to go closer. She did not want her to really see. "I do not want you to go further. You will only see pain and horror. Bodies with no head, 72 dead." Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother." Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra. Before you were born, my loving daughter, I was shown this by your grandfather. He told me what was to befall my son and how it would be a tragedy. My brother told me of this day as well. I knew what was to become of me. But even then I could not stand witness when I saw Shimmer walking to him. My mother, you cannot bear to see what they did to his broken body. Arrow in his heart, liver ripped apart." Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra." When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, "Do not look, Ya Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother." Zainab said, "Do not Zahra. O mother, when he stood and addressed the people who had now turned on him, he cried and shed the bitterest of tears. I never saw such a thing from him. My brother, you who define what is brave, how can I stand to see you crying? I cry not for what shall happen to us, but that the cause of their doom is me. Even in this final moment, he could only think of their torment. How could they kill him? He came to help them. Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother. Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. Then her mother's eyes began to wander. Another body she had to see. A new grave had been dug in the morning. A young infant in there was buried. There lay young Qasim, son of Hassan, and next to him the older Ali. But it was Ali Asghar she came to, the one they killed in his father's arms. What was the sin of this poor child? When the arrow hit, he had wailed. He cried, I'm thirsty, had they no mercy? Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. When Fatima came to Karbala, Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother. Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra. Go back, O mother, they've killed my brother. Zainab said, do not look, Ya Zahra.
Salamu alaykum ya Rasulullah. Ya Habiballah, ya Khair Khalkillah, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah. Salamu alaykum ya Ibn Rasulullah. Ya Hussein, you are Shaheed of Karbala. Salamu alaykum wa ala Jaddika wa Abik wa ala Ummika wa Akhik Jamin wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salamu alaykum ya Sahib al Asri wa Zaman. Salamu alayka ya ma'amana wa imama insi wal jan. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajak wa sahhalallahu ta'ala makhrajak wa dhahurak. Salamu alaykum jameel masumeen wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.